A deadline's a deadline, except when it comes to Brexit. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The UK's scheduled Halloween departure date from the European Union has been thrown into question, and European leaders today are deciding whether to again move the deadline. That's after the British Parliament last night refused to rush legislation on Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit deal. I asked the BBC's Andrew Walker whether the EU is likely to agree to another Brexit extension.
It seems fairly likely they will, reluctantly, particularly in the case of France, where they don't like the idea of an extension, but they are even less keen on the idea of a no-deal Brexit and less keen still on a situation in which they appear to be responsible for that outcome.
So it doesn't look like, at least for now, that the UK will leave on Halloween.
That does seem pretty unlikely, far more likely that there will be yet another extension, a period of continual political wrangling here in the UK, and a distinct possibility of a general election during that extension period.
Speaking of deadlines, there's another one looming December of next year when the UK needs to have a trade deal agreed with the EU. Is that deadline likely to move now?
Well, at the moment, it doesn't look particularly likely, and that's because the date is set out in the withdrawal agreement. So unless the withdrawal agreement were to be subsequently amended to change that date, that is the timetable the trade negotiations would have to be working to. And I have to say, even if we did get out on Halloween, it would be challenging. If it's further delayed, it's going to be extremely difficult. Trade negotiations generally take many years. I'd be utterly astonished if it's done by the end of next year.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. The British pound is down 0.2% against the euro this morning. Boeing is set for a slightly lower open on Wall Street. Indonesian investigators told victims' families that mechanical and design problems factored into last year's Lion Air crash. And Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell nearly 1% amid reports Beijing could replace the city's embattled leader, Carrie Lam. South Korea today became the latest country to tighten regulations on e-cigarettes. The new restrictions come after a 30-year-old user in the country died earlier this month. South Korea's health and welfare minister said the government is banning teenagers from using flavored e-cigarettes or liquid.
The current situation is considered a grave threat to public health as suspected cases of lung damage have been reported domestically following foreign cases of lung damage and death. I strongly advise the public to stop using liquid e-cigarettes. We will complete an analysis of harmful cigarettes in liquid e-cigarettes by November and prepare the scientific basis for recalling and banning sales of liquid e-cigarettes by quickly conducting human risk assessments.
Worries about the health risks are rising around the world. So far, 33 deaths linked to vaping in the U.S. have been reported. Power of the past, promise of the future. That's the banner space pros are gathering under in Washington this week at the 70th International Astronautical Conference. They'll ponder what's next in the private sector space race, and who better to ask that than Sushmita Mohanty, who founded India's first space startup, Earth to Orbit.
I think for way too long, the governments have had total control on access to space and space utilization as well. That's starting to change, and it's not just the billionaire Bezos and the Musks of the world, but it's also entrepreneurs such as myself who are out innovating and disrupting the way things are done. Where I come from, we are taking a multidisciplinary approach to designing human exploration systems, as opposed to, let's say, the engineering-centric approach that the NASAs of the world have been taking for the past 5 decades. So yes, I think private players are starting to play a bigger role, and it's only going to grow from here.
As you say, the space industry is kind of dominated by more developed countries. What do emerging economies, like India, need to support more space entrepreneurship?
Although India is an emerging economy, it's not an emerging space power. The Indian space program is almost as old as the American and the Russian space program. We did our first experimental rocket launch in 1963. Both India, China, for that matter, even Japan, these are not emerging space powers. They have been around for a while, and they are in the top 5 spacefaring countries when it comes to technological accomplishments and budgets. Having said that, for entrepreneurs, a lot needs to change in India. One, we need the government, as in the space agency, to see us as allies and not competitors. The other thing that we really need is a thriving funding ecosystem, which we don't. Both the United States and Europe have amazing funding mechanisms for young entrepreneurs. And we, as in me and other new space entrepreneurs, are advocating for that change and pushing for that change.
Do you see that happening fairly soon?
It's already starting to happen. Remember that even in the US, if you look at Elon Musk or the others, most of their funding comes from government sources. So even in the US, it's a recent phenomenon, private money being put into space stuff.
Now, many space entrepreneurs have different visions about how humans use space. For instance, a place to seek shelter when Earth is no longer habitable. What's your take? How do we use space? Are we using it efficiently?
I think we are utilizing space in our everyday lives in fairly invisible ways, whether it's telecommunications or GPS or Earth observation. We will use space more and more for experiments, for manufacturing things in low Earth orbit, for tourism, and also possibly to go settle on other planetary surfaces. I mean, if you look at climate change, we've accelerated it, we humans. And I personally believe that it's fairly irreversible at this point. And in maybe 4 to 5 generations from now, the planet might not be very habitable anymore.
A new space race indeed. Shushmita Monty, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more from Shushmita, I've just tweeted a link to our online story. It's at Victoria Craig. Finally, parking's a pain, and in Hong Kong, it'll cost you. A spot at one office tower has just sold for almost $1 million. That's triple the average house price there. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.